Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to look into Session 20, Freedom Encounters. We are dealing now with programming, the imposing of an agenda. We've discussed already the issues of splitting, bonding, and then programming, then demonizing. So when you begin to think about programming, I want you to, first take a look at a review. And I really pray that God gives us insight, because when I look at the demonic side of the technology, of the information, of the transmutation, the goal that the enemy has in captivating a soul, we can read about that in Timothy, where there were two individuals that were taken captive to do his will. Ultimately, this is about being taken captive to do Satan's will. Now, some that do not look at this as a spiritual agenda, they might just see it as taken captive to do somebody's will. For example, if they just simply have a sex slave personality and they've been programmed and taught and trained and they know nothing else other than just doing the sex stuff, that can, again, be that issue of imposing the will of another along with the training into raw personality to become simply an expert, sex slave that can be triggered and used for whenever. But it's much more than that. The technology behind this evil is satanic. The idea of even the sin nature having a part in all of this, to be hostile to God and so forth. I mean, everything about this is about the transmutation of the will, which we'll talk about in a moment. I want you to review and remember Psalm 139, "Search me, O God," and the entire process of a freedom encounter is God comes to set captives free. That's God's agenda. And so in the search, in the looking, in the observing, we're asking for God to reveal, to show things, and in that process with a multiple, there are times that God brings up what needs to be brought up first. There's sometimes a clear order, in the sense that God knows what areas of the multiple needs to be dealt with first, some that need to be dealt with later, some part of the will inside that is just absolutely refusing. Remember, after the sin issue with Adam and Eve, they went and covered themselves and they hid from God. And I believe that's part of the issue of programming, and the will on the inside is completely hostile to God and to any outsiders. So the programming overall is about you and I not being able to, break in, that we're not supposed to discover this. We're not supposed to know any of this, let alone the goal of the Brotherhood and Luciferians is to keep them from knowing anything, have any touch of God whatsoever, because that would contaminate them in their view. Well, the search issue is very important for the Spirit of God to search through, because again, He knows every single personality. He knows when they were split, what they are programmed with. Again, this is the omniscience of God. There's nothing that Satan can do in this work that not only does God know, but that God can undo. And that's what I think, again, 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy Satan's work. And our agenda in coming to anybody is with the good news. That's information. That's God coming to reason. Come, let us reason together. That's God coming to engage. Listen, even theologically, the sin nature, there's an element of programming. I call it the sin code. If you read Romans chapter 8, you're going to realize that the sin nature is like a sin code embedded in human personality, fallen, separated from Christ, that is not willing to submit to God, can't submit to God, and also hostile to God. It has an operating principle. And of course, Ephesians 2:2 tells us that the ruler of the power of the air is now at work. There's an operating power. So there is already a type of spiritual programming, in the sin nature, and also in the work that the enemy is doing. this takes it to a deeper, a broader level. So when we talk about searching, we're going through a lot of things. Sin nature issues, Satan's direct work, the blinding, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the enemy, let alone active demonic presence programming, and all of the other kind of belief inoculation that has been put into a multiple, a cult multiple, so that they would not seek help, that they would not listen to any of us on the outside, etc. So when you review the order of dealing with them, the idea of deliverance, clearing out as, you know, as much of the demonic as possible, talking to persons, developing an understanding, letting them to see you and gain trust, then the inner healing or the encounter, the Christ encounter on the inside, where there is not just the healing, but the, you know, in the encounter, programming can be broken. In the encounter, healing can occur. In the encounter, information and God showing and truth. That's why we call it a power encounter, compassion encounter, truth encounter, or even an extraordinary encounter that Jesus gives to personalities. But then again, you got to get there to be able to have those kind of encounters, barring the fact that God may give you even new insight and help. And so that's where, again, relying on the supernatural grace and compassion of Jesus, relying on the work of the Spirit of God, and even the power of the Word of God to operate and work the way it is supposed to in a person's life. So you are on page 51 of Freedom Encounter, Session 20, and we're dealing with programming. Now, this may be one of the hardest areas for many people. Programming, in a simple sense, is like mind or soul bending. The imposing of other information into a person. I mean, an adult can do this to a child. A pedophile, in a sense, does this to a little child when he tells a child that this is natural, normal, good, fun, all that kind of stuff. When we're being lied to and we believe the lie, there is an element of programming. Of course, we're choosing to engage in that sense, whereas multiples from childhood up have not chosen to be in these situations. The good news is that the will is created at the very core of being to be able to choose. The sin code or the sin nature brings bondage to that will also, so that the will is not 100% free the way God intended. Now, in evangelism, when the Spirit of God comes and the Word of God comes, there is a penetrating of the sin code and of Satan's presence and a liberating of the will. God comes in to lift the will up, to engage the will, not to overcome the will, not to bypass the will, nor to program the will, but to lift the will up and to engage the will, the human being, your life and my life, with the content of truth. And the content of God speaking to us and laying out before us a choice to be made. Choose you this day whom you might serve. So it does come down to that in evangelism. It does come down to that in all of our daily lives, that we would choose God, choose the Word of God, choose again and again and again. Be very active in your choice. As a matter of fact, now that you're born of the Spirit of God as a believer, according to Philippians, it is God who is at work, operative in you, to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Now that means that He's moving in you to will. He doesn't do the willing for you, but he's empowering your will completely with a new nature to choose Him, to walk in His, you know, steps, to walk in the Word of God. You now have the power to obey, but you still must choose. God doesn't do the obeying for you. He empowers your will to the highest level of freedom move, and even and urges and obviously influences us to move that direction, but He does not do the choosing for us. And you and I must do that. Now, this is going to be true as you go through with the multiple once you do get down into dealing with programming, but I want to touch on two things. the will has been transmuted. That means the original will that God created to be free, a one individual will, now has been split into many sub-personalities with separate wills. There might be a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, 18-year-old, you know, many different personalities. Each one will have separate identity, separate sense of will. And this is part of the transmutation of the human will, changing it and making it something different, mutating it from what it originally was. And literally, Satan using that for his purposes and his agenda. Well, there's a difference between transmutation and transformation. Transmutation is, again, Satan's goal of building tares and creating individuals that mutates everything, body, soul, and spirit, and conforming them to his agenda. Whereas in transformation, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 on down, and regeneration, the renewal, the transformation is God transforming. That means delivering us from the sin nature, the power of it, the deception, the lies, Satan's presence and power. The transformation involves being free from that and God placing his presence, power, and ability in us to be able to choose. Transformation occurs at the moment of salvation, but it's ongoing in sanctification. As we read the word, as we make choices again and again and again and again. And the victory for the believer is just keep walking in obedience. Always walk in obedience. John chapter 15 will teach you that, verse 10, that to stay and abide and dwell in Christ, in his love and so forth, is simply to continue to walk in obedience to the word of God. And that's the truth we find in 1 John chapter 2, walking in obedience. And in that obedience, we become freer and freer and freer. And the power of that freedom, it will be more and more known. We call it victory. If you think in terms of victory in Christ, we're told in Galatians not to use our freedom to indulge the sin nature. We've been set free in Christ. The truth sets us free. There's a tremendous freedom. Thus, that's why we've basically, biblically, called this training Freedom Encounter. God comes to set the captive free, to release prisoners, and so on. Whether that's through just the sin nature in Satan or other lies and so forth, false gods and goddesses, whatever it may be, cult programming, things like that. We are back right now. We have been talking about mind and soul-bending programming. It's about transmuting. So you are now engaging. Now listen, there can be as many programs in a multiple as there are subpersons. So if you have 35 subpersonalities or 100, each one, if they're not home created, in the sense that, again, home created is when they split during trauma and they might have little ones and others inside that many times the cult or the coven or, you know, whoever the handlers are, can't really totally get a hold of them. And though they might be lied to and they try to bend them over and punish and whatever else, they have a harder time with them. They like to create raw will and begin from there bonding, programming, demonizing, training. So when you're looking at all the purposefully created sub-personalities, if somebody purposely created one, there's no doubt they bonded, programmed, demonized, and then along the way may have trained them with more and more and more and more and more programming information and experiential stuff. And they're living out the programming. The programming is literally meant to be lived out. It is meant to be, something that they're doing. Now, let's talk about sleepers real quick. For example, if you do have a sleeper personality that is the assassin for like the Black Awakening, things like that, and they're put down and they're, though they may have been called up at training sessions and trained and shown how to use a gun, clean a gun, operate, and all that kind of stuff, become an expert, assassin, sniper, target, whatever. Well, if they're put down you know, again, the programming's there, the training is there, the command to do what they're supposed to do is there, and most likely demonization is there. Now, in many cult, seriously oriented cult multiples that have a militaristic, you know, background, they will have those kind of sleeper personalities. Every sleeper personality will have programming. And again, throughout an entire system of personalities, when you find someone coming up and says, I am the priestess, or I am the guardian, or I am the protector, or I am the sex slave, or I am the runner, or I am the informer, or I am, on and on, I'm the nurse, whatever it may be, please understand, somebody told them that they're going to be that and trained them to be that, and depending on the methods used, basically shaped them from raw personality all the way. So you're going to hear many times personalities say, well, I don't know what else to do. This is all I've ever known. It's all they have ever known. And obviously, handlers, coven people, and so forth have never engaged them with choices. They've never had a choice. It's always been just the imposition of another agenda and a training with making sure that they don't come out and engage anything that would disrupt that programming, etc. So there could be as many programs in a person as there are sub-personalities. Literally, the programming is in the personality. It doesn't float around. It's in the personality. Each is different, and it can also have backups. In other words, if somebody's a runner, and you finally deal with this runner, and you engage them, and bottom line, the programming's broke, they turn to Christ, and maybe they go with Jesus, and there's total healing, that may be a trigger to kick in a second runner or a third runner that were sleepers. And so sometimes in the encounter, if you're dealing with a sleeper, a priestess, and other personalities, maybe a personality that all they were to do was to live in denial, to deny they've ever had any harm, to deny they've ever been a part of military, to deny they've ever been a part of anything, and that's all they know to do is deny everything. That's all they've been programmed and trained to do. Now, the issue is, if you get to that personality and in the encounters along the way, seek the Lord in this to find out if there's two or three or four backups, so that possibly all of the personalities that carry that kind of programming can be dealt with at once. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, deal with another and another and keep going around and around like a circle almost. So let's begin with the idea of A, under A, the imposing will into will. And that's literally what it is. It's will into will. That's what occurred again. If you start in Ezekiel 28, or if you go to Isaiah, where Satan literally says, I will ascend. Five times, the will. No wonder Aleister Crowley speaks about the will. So do many occultists, and even Nietzsche. There's this issue of the will, but the will being used in what way? Now, Adam and Eve had a completely free will and agenda and so forth, and they were living in protection, but they were engaged. And God set up the perimeters for the human race to stay free. But in rejecting the word of God and accepting the lie, the word of the enemy, obviously something broke. We lost the Spirit of God, the sin nature was acquired, and death, you know, began to reign, and from that point on, the human race has been fallen. Now, the issue here, again, is the satanic will, obviously, from our point of view, was a lie, was a deception. Please understand, Luciferians, they look at it as the absolute opposite, that Jehovah was lying and keeping the human race as a slave. That's how they look at us. And that when Satan comes with his gnosis, his knowledge, that we're being set free to that knowledge. Well, but look at the methods. There's no question. Even in cults like the Unification Church, they call it heavenly deception. They're allowed to lie in order to win you over. They're allowed to use the very nature of Satan, the father of lies, to do things. So even it's a big issue. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that God cannot lie. He doesn't lie, cannot lie. It would be a denial of his very being, since the attribute of truth is infinite and immeasurable. He's true and always true and totally true and cannot, does not, never has lied. Even the church, the founding of it, is the pillar and ground of truth. The Word of God is the Word of truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus constantly is saying, truly I say to you, He is the way, the life, the truth. So truth comes, that's aletheia, the idea of reality, truth, and as far as reality and content, propositional, subjective, all of it. It's true truth, as the theologian Francis Schaeff used to say. Well, when we begin to talk about the imposing will into will, it's whose will and how is it being imposed? Once again, I want to say, even in salvation, God does not impose, He does not break the will, He does not, He breaks the sin nature, He breaks the satanic blinding to get to us so that the will can be liberated, eyes and heart can be opened so that choice can be made. God literally just reaches in and lifts us up with a sense of incredible, empowered freedom to be able to say yes, to repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's what's needed. Now, see, the issue is, without hearing the Word of God, hearing the truth, how can anybody believe? So that's another issue. The way the Word of God looks at it is that we're already, we already have the fallen nature imposed and the lie imposed, and our will is blinded to the presence and power and truth of God, unless the gospel is unleashed to us, which is an act of mercy also. Nobody can believe without hearing. How could they believe in whom they've not heard? Well, they can't. Nobody can choose without the grace of God and the freeing grace of God being unleashed to us to enable us to choose. And my dear friends, may I say, let's always choose. When you have the Word of God presented to you, too much is given, much is required. The measure is given. Listen, you and I need to choose and be quick to respond to God as God continually offers and shows us things. And so we're going to find out in the engagement with multiples, truth is going to come from the Spirit of God as you share with encounters that occur, the compassion encounter, the truth encounter, even extraordinary things that God may do, even sign or wonder that God may do. If it comes from God, it will never have an iota of darkness in it, a lie in it. God doesn't deceive to get people out of deception. That's again the entire thing of seduction, deception, lying, seducing, so forth. That's all on the satanic side, and there's an operating will and power obviously going on. Well, in a programmed individual, the will has been literally programmed. Now, we've talked about this. Let me go over it just quickly again. When the human will, usually it's, you know, the baby has already been split and there's been personalities, even if they're just sleeper, kind of like raw or negative, or just they're sleepers, but they're nothing yet. They've been split, but they don't have the ability yet to take on cognitive engagement. So sometimes many of those splits are brought up later on to begin putting into personality what it is they're supposed to be and do. Well, I'm going to talk about, first of all, on page 51, programming and bonding. Now, programming and bonding, programming and words, programming and deception, all these things are used. Again, here you have a child laying on a table, whatever else, or, you know, even as they get older or along the way. When a split occurs, they call it having raw personality, brand new personality that has no name, that has nothing else, that has literally just simply come up to or been forced, created, so that the other part of them would be submerged, and of course that's going to create being amnesic to whatever the new personality is going to have. So the host person usually is not going to know the sub-personalities. Or even if they begin to find out some of them, they don't know the extent of the idea of programming and things like that. Well, the idea of bonding is programming in the sense that it's again, it's like what they use in the Call of the Unification Church and other cults, love bombing, you know, bringing them in to cast all this love. It's all fake. It's all there to bend their will and mind to begin to embrace cult teaching and so forth. So bonding may be that the handler or others there, you know, we are your creators. We love you. You're going to hear personalities say, well, they are our creators. They made us. That's, or they're our dad and mom, or they're, you know, they're going to see, they're going to be, there's going to be kind of an emotional, let alone a rational, sense of a connection to handlers, programmers, and others. Because, oh, well, they created us. They made us. They were there first. So in the bonding itself, there is a beginning element. And sometimes when we come down to discussions with personalities on this issue, I always engage them about the bonding issue. Yes, they created you, but they split you off from the original. They did something opposed to the will of God. They did it purposely to begin to program you and change and alter your whole being. And so even dealing with the idea of splitting and you know, them being bonded, you know, we have to go through the truth encounter of that. That they've been lied to, that these people were not their mom and dad, they were not the kind, gracious, you know, individuals. And sometimes it's very hard to take certain personalities and have them look at the handlers, programmers, coven leaders, military scientists and others, and say these are the bad guys. That's part of the breaking of bonding, the bonding level of programming. Well, there's, you know, you, well, let me just say one more thing, like the Stockholm syndrome. The syndrome in where, you know, somebody's kidnapped and the kidnappers, you know, eventually have them there so long and so forth that the kidnapped victim begins to sympathize with the bad guys and begins to, you know, like Patty Hearst, and they begin to, you know, maybe take on their belief systems and kind of, you know, begin to agree with them, and pretty soon they're living out their lives with them for a while. There's this issue of identifying with the perpetrators and their agenda. And I've had this happen dealing directly when we had to go retrieve an individual. And this individual inside was constantly said to us, no, let's say the guy's name was John. That's not his real name, but John was nice to me, and John did good things to me, and John fed me, and he hugged me, and he cared. Listen, the John that we engaged was a high-level programmer that had, we had 8 of his victims at the time, where he created personalities. No, he was extremely evil. He created sex slave personalities in this kid, and many other things. But the kid thought that John was nice, because here's what happens. Many times, the programmer or the person like this is very nice to the host personality or to the person that's letting them, you know, have you know, the body. But when they put that person to sleep or that person down, they can do horrific things and evil things that original person doesn't even know that they did. And they need to have encounters with, again, who these people really are and what they're really doing and who they are really serving and how they're breaking and transmuting the will. You're going to have sometimes personality talks about, you know, we say, well, look how they punished you. Look how they hurt you. Well, some personalities within them, when I say program, they've been taught, listen, punishment is good. Punishment keeps us in line. Punishment keeps us in obedience. Don't you spank your child to keep him from going out on the road? Well, our programmers, you know, our handlers, they will shock us or they will do certain things to keep us from going outside, you know, our boundaries. And so please understand, ask God for wisdom and for the Spirit of God's grace and mercy to show personalities along the way that they have been lied to, that programmers and handlers and others are really evil. Ask God to open their eyes to cause them to see that. I mean, obviously, Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts, he did not go around thinking he was doing wrong. He thought he was actually serving God. And he wasn't under any kind of military or cult programming. He'd given over to a religious cultic system of belief that had great hostility to the truth and freedom that was found in Christ, in the Word of God. So that's why he was attacking Christians who were speaking the truth. And he was really passionate about what he was doing. So don't be surprised when you find personalities that are passionate about being obedient to the Luciferian doctrine, to the handlers, to the coven, etc., that they don't want to break loyalty. Some of them don't want to break loyalty for loyalty's sake. They don't want to be disloyal to serving Satan and an evil agenda. Well, let's go on down from that and begin to look at programming in words. Again, words, just simply, you know, when a new personality is created, they're beginning to be told, you know, you're going to be Johnny, and your name is Johnny, and Johnny, you're going to be someone who's going to do a lot of great things for us, and you're going to, whenever anybody ever tries to harm you, we want you to run to this location, or we want you to call this phone number. So the idea that just simply speaking into that raw personality, speaking into and literally creating name, creating agenda, creating thought pattern, creating what it is they are going to be. They're literally creating identity. They really are. They're literally creating identity. And they're creating identity. They're creating the perimeters, the boundaries, who you will associate with, who you will not associate with. They're going to tell, you know, towards the end, even the idea of triggering, the idea of giving them a code and putting them down on the inside that they do not come up unless they hear that code or that phrase or the sound of the voice recognition, the voice recognition of the handler. If they hear that voice, the sub-personality hears that voice, then they can come up. Or if they hear the trigger. All of that itself is part of the programming that they have been imposed upon, and they just literally stay down and dormant, even though they can at times hear other things and know of other things going on. They're not about to come up and switch and do what it is they've been told. So the idea of just being told, reasoned with, and spoken to, and given the perimeters, and given the guidelines, that's pretty basic. I mean, when you have a child, and you tell a child, you know, that they're not to go out on the road, they got to stay within the fence in the yard so they get hurt. Now, you're giving guidance, but that's good guidance. You are doing something for the good. In all cult programming, there's always that secondary agenda of, we want to use you. We're doing this and giving you these perimeters and speaking into you so that we can use you, use your will, and we're building you to respond only to us so that you can only do what we guide, direct, and so forth your life to be and do. So, programming can be done just simply in speaking into, in words, in giving the boundaries, giving basic identification, and so forth to an individual personality. Programming and deception. Now, there's another level, and this is very important because in many of the programmers and so forth, there's already a level of demonization. There's already a demonization of the will of the whole being, if not the blood of an individual cult multiple. So deception is there from the very beginning. Handlers don't say, hey, I'm a monarch handler, and we're creating an agenda to serve Satan in the end, to fight against Christ when he returns, Revelation 19:19, and we're not asking to be a part of our agenda. We're telling you you're going to be a part. They don't do that. They don't do that. Cults don't do that. That's why you see, you know, certain things. I seen a television commercial the other day of the Mormons again, and they're talking about heroes and Bible characters that can really be inspirational to your life, to your children, because of how good they were at heroes. Well, I already know the Mormon approach. Their goal isn't to get you into the Bible. Their goal isn't to get you to come and look at Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. The ultimate agenda is to get you to switch to the Book of Mormon and to take on the belief systems of the cult leader, Joseph Smith. So there's again, using, and that you're going to find that done with multiples too, where the Bible, church, Christian hymns, Christian songs, like Jesus Loves You, This I Know, can all be used in the programming to belief inoculate them so that they will have a completely different view of the Bible, the church, and everything else, a perverted view, a view in which they don't want to seek and take in the Word of God on their own. I don't meet multiples usually that are out there reading and studying the Word of God. Basically, demonized multiples are not allowed to even touch it. But we'll talk about, you know, infiltration and how they use some of it later on. Even Satan quoted the Word of God. Obviously, he didn't love it. He didn't use it. He didn't obey it. But he would use it for a different purpose. He used it in trying to get Jesus to break, you know, the will of God, the Father. And obviously, Jesus didn't do that. And we see that in Matthew chapter 4. Page 52, going on to some more of the programming. Programming and scenarios. Now, sometimes that they personalities will be able to repeat scenarios that have been taken to certain places, that certain things were done, that police officers came in and told them that all police officers were part of this brotherhood or part of the group, and that never go to a person like this because, and the police officer or whoever it was, a person dressed as a police officer, or maybe a police officer who's part of the system that really is a police officer, but he's still fulfilling his satanic side of things. So he can be at a training scenario in which he's telling one or more multiples and demonstrating to the personality or personalities, plural, that police officers all know all about this. They all know about what's going on. And that you never go to one of them to tell anything because they'll turn you in and you'll get punished, etc., etc. Scenarios. One of the scenarios is, again, of the whole thing where somebody in the coven dresses up like what people think Jesus looked like. And the kids are all starving and hungry and tied up and whatever, and they're told to call for Jesus. Well, of course, the coven Jesus shows up, beats on them, hurts them, does all kinds of bad things, is very nasty to them. They're crying, the kids are crying all the more and abused and hurt. And then the kids are told to call on Lucifer or Satan. And then a coven member dressed like what Satan might look like shows up and feeds them and gives them new clothes and helps them, and again, creating a deceptive bond. And that scenario is then imprinted in memory. And whatever personalities actually saw, it's now embedded. That's how memory is. Memory gets embedded. The sharper, louder, stronger, more dynamic an event, the more it can stick in not only short-term but long-term memory. And so scenarios, so you might, you know, ask along the way, you know, or you'll find out about scenarios that the actual acting out, a play, a drama was used. Think of Parsifal that was used to influence Nazi Germany and influenced Hitler. And it was a dramatic, emotional, passionate play, but it was contrary to truth. Listen. You know, evil can stir up passion, deception, and so forth. So when you think in terms of scenarios, they might have scenarios where preachers are beating them, and preachers are liars, and preachers will steal and hurt and rape them and so forth. And that's, they might look at all preachers that way and never want to talk to a preacher. So scenarios can be many different things. Usually, again, that enforces the cult agenda, the coven agenda, keeping them directed that way, and also belief inoculated in the sense that they are inoculated with not wanting to step outside of their boundaries to to ever listen to anybody or to seek anything else, you know, out. Well, the next one is programming and repetition. Programming and repetition. Repetitions, loops, tape. The idea that phrases are constantly done. Now, that can be done each time the personality is brought up. If a personality is brought up, you are a priestess, you are a high order priestess, your name is Mehitabel, and you're going to be the great priestess in this, and you're going to be able to perform these things, and we're going to show you this job to do, and how you're going to speak a certain language. We want you to use this old Oguam language or these old ritual symbols, and here's how you do it. You're really special to us. Once again, the emotional bonding, the speaking into, also developing ritual scenarios in which they're trained to do it. They may be listening to it on tape, looped, something that Cameron did in Canada, the idea of depatterning and repatterning by playing 24 hours or longer this tape. It's the idea that people can go out and get New Age tapes at the local bookstores that, you know, they can listen to. It says, you will feel better, you are a happy person, you are going to be successful, you know, and they want this to be, brought into their subconscious. And somehow this information is played deep down within, and so they do feel better and so forth. The issue is whether or not it's real or not. And just to say you feel better, based on what? You could take a drug and feel better, but nothing in reality has changed. God deals with reality and truth sets us free, and God does want us to feel good and so forth. Jesus clearly said that Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's come to give life, Zoe, the quality of the life that comes from heaven, and that kind of life to its abundance or fullness. So, you know, walking in the Lord, knowing the truth, you know, there is to be the fruit of the Spirit of walking in obedience to Jesus. The natural out, you know, the fruit of that is love, joy, peace. So any Christian who's really obeying the Word of God, walking in the Spirit and obeying the Word of God, is one and the same. And if you're putting the Word of God into practice, 1 John chapter 2 says, the love of God will be made complete in you, full in you. Through that obedience, the fruit that flows from that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, so forth. And again, that comes in our own choosing, and it comes based on pure, unadulterated truth. Whereas in the programming, all of it is about deception, lies, and so forth. All of it has everything to do with just simply conforming them. Now, if it was just one agenda, you know, like again, the Unification Church, the Moonies, or the Way International, or groups like that, the worldwide, the Children of God, Moses Berg, and so forth. When they have just one personality, of course, they're using the idea of totalism. Get them totally away from, totalism is away from environment, away from family, away from job, away from everything old. You know, again, depatterning their whole social, mental, spiritual, relational structures, and then taking them into the pattern of the cult. And allowing them to listen to only one thing, to believe only one thing, to hear only one thing, and to even give them certain things to chant. If their mind begins to question, they're, you know, just immediately buzz that out and begin to chant again. And they're accepting lies. They're accepting deception. Anytime Satan wants you to accept the lie directly, deception is used in that process. So we read in James also, each man is tempted when by his own evil desire he's what? There's an enticement, there's a dragging, there's a process in that to get to doing the actual thing, the actual sin. You know, Satan just didn't come down and say, listen, I'm rebelling against God that has been walking with you, and I want you to join me in my forces because I'm going to overtake God. That's not how he did it. Notice, to get them to accept, you know, to, you know, get into the lie, major deception is used. And all the way along, whether it's the scenarios, whether it's the speaking into them, even the bonding, it's all about that. And the splitting of creating a subpersonality who has nothing, it's a blank slate, that very process is for the purpose of shaping it, programming it, imposing will, educating it for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is the satanic agenda and the purposes and uses in that agenda. Well, let's look at on repetitions or loop or whatever else. Again, in dealing with that, sometimes you may just hear somebody say the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again. And again, keeping them, you know, where did you learn it? I keep asking questions like this with a lot of personalities. Where did you hear that? Where did you learn that? How do you know that? When did it begin? And I have them go all the way back. And so there's a process. Again, I believe that's the Spirit of God grants you wisdom, like Stephen in the book of Acts. They could not stand up against the Spirit or wisdom by which he spoke. May God grant that to you as you interact with personalities, because in interacting with those personalities, you are engaging them. Of course, from your point, you know, your view, and it's true, you've come with truth. In no way can any of us as believers, we just don't operate. I tell people, I've told multiples this constantly, I do not lie. And it's very important for them to see that. Many of them who have been breaking out as victims in their 30s and so forth, 40s, part of the issue is you'll begin to see, ask personalities, well, haven't you seen them lie to you in the coven? Haven't you seen them deceive you? Haven't you seen them, you know, show favoritism and things? The very things that the Word of God tells us not to do, they begin to see being done in the coven structures. And even those who are demonized know the demons work and operate that way. They know they've been lied to. They know they've been tricked. They know they've been deceived. And they find this out along the way. And yet, while they're in the coven, they have, and under the control, they have no way of getting out of it until at least they find somebody that begins to engage them with the God of truth, the presence of truth, and the Savior who is, from beginning to end, again, truth. So the idea of repetitious, you know, if you when I memorize Scripture word for word, I just do it by memorization, by doing phrases of it, memorizing. And again, that's my choice to put it in my life. And even memorization doesn't mean I'm going to obey it all. Putting it into practice. I want to have it so I can use it in my life and for others. But I, you know, the number one thing is to want to obey and put it into practice to be blessed in doing the word, like James 1 says. Be blessed in that. And it comes true. You are. You're blessed in obeying the truth. Not just in reading it. You're blessed in reading it, of course, because that's a part of the mercy. But the empowerment and the experiential work of a certain verse or biblical verses comes to power in your life as you put them into practice. Well, they have heard again and again and again, maybe 1,000 times before you ever met them, that maybe it's a personality who's a priestess, that they are a high priestess. They have a major job. That they're serving Satan. That they're a bride of Satan. They're really pleasing Satan. They're doing a tremendous work, and on and on and on. And maybe they heard this in a tape, and maybe they listened to tapes, and whatever. But that's one form of the programming that is just that literally embeds the idea of their identity, their job, what they're to do, who they're to listen to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each personality may have one or all of these forms of the programming in them. Programming in screen or memory or screen or visual. Numerous times we've been told, specifically from the military side, the underground military side, is where they have literally had their heads in a little, you know, cage-like thing, and their faces are forced to watch. And they're watching scenarios. Now, it's very sophisticated. The Luciferian side can create scenarios as part of the programming. And they can have them observe and to watch the screen memory. Now, if anybody's seen the newest version of Manchurian Candidate, the movie, and I urge you to see that because there's elements, very true elements in that movie, very clear and revealing elements. I've taken multiples to that movie that they were shocked that so much of the, quote, hidden stuff was brought out. But you'll see where these soldiers are on this island, and there's a group of them where their eyes are fixated on a screen, and a screen is playing a scenario so that when they're asked questions, what happened on the field, they just say, they just all of a sudden, that whole screen fake, it's fake, but the whole screen memory comes into play, and they begin to tell, well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. The difficulty with a screen memory or implanted memory, even though they seem to feel it and so forth somewhat, is that a placed memory begins and ends and is kind of out of place. It's not the same as real memory to where you can think on it. And, you know, if I think about my 16th birthday or if I think about my 40th birthday, I know exactly what occurred and the party my wife through and all the people that showed up and so forth. People could ask me questions and I can talk more about it. I can answer more questions. The more you ask questions, if it's a screen memory, and they just say, well, all I know is that, maybe the scenario, again, this is like a play, but now on a visual, and all they know is what that visual video clip showed them. But if you begin to ask them questions, because it was all just kind of put in as a piece, there's no fluidity. There's no sense of being able to, remember parts of it. And like my 40th birthday, I there's a lot of things you can ask me about it. I can tell you more and more, or a little bit, or I can continue to tell you every aspect of it. What friends came, how family members had came, how our carpeting, the new house we had bought, I had pulled out all the carpeting down in the basement because of the dogs of the previous owners, and we didn't have carpeting yet. And so it was all, I could tell you a lot of things that's in the memory that was real. Screen memories will not have that same level of effect, of fluidity, in the sense of, let's go over it again. When they go over it again, it's just, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. It's only what they saw in sequence. They can't go up or down, left or right with it. And it sounds wooden and structured. Now, they're very good at doing this nowadays, but really engaging them on the issue about reality and getting another personality possibly to realize, well, I was sitting. That's why you see some books that are out now by survivors where they remember sitting in a chair with this little thing around their head, and they're forced to watch. Now, listen, sex slaves that are trained in sex practice, they're forced to watch pornography. And they see it from raw personality seeing this, and that's all they know. Please understand, that's training them. That will engage the emotions, the whole sexual chemistry of the whole body. I mean, they're seeing things that they've never known. Like a child that was brought up by a child perpetrator. They're being touched. They're being, maybe when they were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, they thought it was all good. And it felt good. And that's all they were told till later on in life. They realized that was abnormal. It was wrong. The person lied to me. They raped me. And then down the road, the mixture of, well, it felt good, and my uncle loved me and gave me money and gave me presents, but now I realize it was wrong. And so there's that mixture of, I hate you, and look what you did to me, yet, the feelings that went with it. So the idea of the sex slave and all they're trained in doing is sex, 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 and every kind of sex, and they love it because that's all they saw. That's all they were given. That's all they were trained. They've seen it as... So again, please understand the transmutation. That's what that side does in using the human will, not as one, but as a, again, a sub-personality, and another sub-personality simply gives them more things to place in there to use them in, with multiple jobs, multiple personality, multiple jobs, multiple programmings, multiple abilities, so that they can get much more out of the single body than just simply a cult that may have a person doing one thing. It's all wrong, of course. Well, coming down to the next one is the idea of jobs. And again, many of the personalities you engage, they have a protector inside has a job to do. A guardian has a job to do. A gatekeeper has a job to do. You know, somebody that does a ritual or does a certain cutting or cleans up afterwards or gets rid of things or whatever it may be, a nurse that's created on the inside, they all have a job to do. Every personality that has a job to do that they were given, not only just spoken into, programmed in that sense, scenarios played out, repetitions, tape, whatever, but also training. So maybe you should put there on page 52 under programming and jobs / training. Even though someone might see a screen memory or screen training on how to shoot, how to be an assassin, how to be a sniper, how to use a gun, just like you or I would go to a training at work to learn how to use computers better. Well, there they are learning how to do that in a visual way, but then they're also taking it out on the field. And I've had multiples and monarchs and others come in and show me pictures of them in a 4P group or others, and they're out there training with weapons, and they're very proficient with weapons. Well, at least that personality was. And they knew how to use them very, very well and everything else. Sex slaves can tell you, can write a book on sexuality based or sex stuff. They can tell you things, what they do and how they do it and everything else. Why? Because they not only, been told, spoken into, seen scenarios, been into scenarios themselves, had maybe a tape or loop, training, you will be a sex slave, you are a sex slave, the repetitious of that kind of thing. Screen stuff they've seen, and then the jobs literally take them out on the field and do it again and again and again and again. And that's the horror of all this, because you have little 5 and 6 and 8 year old kids, boys and girls, that are being used in this way. And for them, that part of them may think it's very normal. Part of the reason for the hiddenness of all of it is that personality goes down and is given that program, or that trigger rather, to not come up and tell anybody. And that trigger, that triggering code can be sold off to others so that they can call up the sex slave and use them. Maybe you've read about Candy Jones and some of the CIA stuff and the sexual stuff there. And you can read about Bryce Taylor. You can read about, many of the others that are out there on a larger scale sharing their information. Now, programming does not end with just the speaking into scenarios, repetition, screen, jobs, training. Training can go on and on. Listen, priestesses have been trained to do rituals, to conjure demons, to cut with a knife, to speak the old languages. A runner, might have been trained to do certain things and where to go and have some information. Obviously, each personality has had some level of verbal programming. There could be a scenario, screen, but also the training is programming. If you've been trained to do something, 500 times over a period of 15 years, that's really embedded. And it's the wrong thing, but that's what they've been, they've been brought out to do again and again and again and again. And they've been shown how to do something better and better and better. And they've been taken out to do it again and again. And, trained in ritual circles, trained in drawing, the symbols, all of that. So jobs and training go hand in hand. Now, in all of this kind of programming comes the issue of demonization, demonizing the programming, empowering the programming. And since we're already about an hour right now, I'm going to stop this session and go on to another disc and give you part one and part two of programming. So again, the Lord bless you and give you great wisdom. Think on these things. Think on how you've been ministering. Add to whatever information you have. Integrate it. It's all about, asking the Lord Jesus to operate through us the incredible work of setting captives free, of liberating, opening eyes, helping just literally Isaiah 58, breaking the yoke, the bondage, the programming. May God give us tremendous wisdom, give us tremendous ability and charismatic gifting, and the power of God to be demonstrated in setting people free from this horrific transmutation in programming. This is Russ Dizdar, Shadow of the Darkness.